CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, as Matthew McConaughey says. We are here, we are live. It is Monday morning. Although you wouldn't know, some people have lost track what day it is. You ask some people what day it is and they have no fucking idea. And who can blame them? I mean, you're living in this twilight world at the moment, right? I've got my my hot water. I'm very happy about this with a bit of lemon in it. That's according to Damon, anyway. Whose mother, Naomi Calvari, knows everything, so I'm in safe hands. All right. Sure, you made it through another weekend. Look at Sia. Sia's got a chocolate Easter egg. Is that what you're surviving on? Sia, you're surviving on chocolate Easter eggs?
I've slipped down this path now. This is your... I'm going to be unrecognizable after this lockdown.
You're going to balloon. All right. So.
I thought I was holding on up until I remembered Easter. We polished a box of 24 of these eggs in a day.
Ooh.
Between like the five or six of us.
When is
I wouldn't feel bad.
Easter is this coming weekend, right?
It starts, yeah.
Good Friday.
I think Good Friday is this coming Friday.
And then Pesach is this week, right? Starts Tuesday.
So it's a big holy week.
Sure.
Is that also an eating holiday?
Afterwards, yeah. After you've done the whole, you fast for the day. And it's actually the most important day in the Jewish calendar.
Don't ask me
how I know this. You don't know the Passover story? Didn't you read your Bible?
Okay. Is that where they paint on their doors because something was going through?
This is when Moses was in the land of Egypt. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh would not let his people go. And God sent the seven plagues, and the last plague was the Passover, which is where the angel of death flew over Egypt and took the firstborn children of all those whose doors were not painted with the lamb's blood. Dun, dun, dun.
And then there was another plague.
And you think
coronavirus.
That's the eighth plague, right? Oh, man.
Just for safe measure, I'll probably just put melted chocolate, a little melted chocolate cross on the store.
That's right.
Coronavirus is bees.
The eighth plague. Coronavirus.
Maybe there were vegans back then as well, the guys who didn't have lamb's blood. It's not that they didn't want to do it. They were just vegans.
Well, vegans didn't make it.
Oh.
I'm afraid in those days.
Yeah, I know. Vegans did not survive anything in the Bible days.
Leanne,
you had to eat meat.
Did you use a GHD on your hair this morning? It looks very good.
No, it's just freshly blow dry.
Oh, wow. Look noticing. At you. Princess Leanne.
No one notices my hair these days, and I don't know why.
Princess Leanne was.
That's because you aren't interacting with people.
Oh,
because if they are interacting with you on Zoom or Google Hangouts or Cisco or Skype or any of those things, it's because your camera is pointing at your tits.
I'm just.
It's a bit of wish thinking on my part.
You can't tell on this thing. I prefer Zoom. I must be honest.
So how was everybody's weekend? Any exciting things happen? I mean, did you go anywhere interesting? Did you meet any interesting people?
All right.
Remember those days?
What fun we had.
Oh, those are the days where you used to go out and actually meet human beings instead of see them on your fucking computer or your phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so tired somewhat of looking at my screens all the time.
Really, Sia?
I jump around from screen to screen. It's my laptop, the iPad, my phone, or the TV.
Yeah, I feel your pain, hey.
So you know those? This is my year to meet a new man. People like if they like imagine what are they up to now? Like because now the rest of the year it's lockdown, and now I just can't.
Well, I suppose there's like phone sex and online dating and Tinder and stuff like that.
I've never got into phone sex. You remember in the early days, before we had cell phones, you could call up because they used to advertise them. You could call up those, there was an actual human woman at the end of it, and she would be she'd say things to you like, oh, you know, you're so beautiful. I just want to hold you. And then eventually it got quite filthy, and it would be like, oh, I can feel your dick and that kind of thing. And I mean, people would make prank calls. That's how, I mean, I was, what, 15 or something, so I didn't really know about it. And we used to call them up and then quickly put down the phone. And then our parents would get these charges, and they'd be like, what are you doing phoning this line? And I'd be like, well.
Yeah, because on your bill, it was like literally
sex phone line,
for
yeah.
sex.
Yeah. So there was that, and then it very quickly morphed into the smartphone, where you used to send text messages that were kind of naughty, you know.
Well, you could subscribe to a daily naughty photo.
Oh.
Well, you know, because you were promoting this.
That's when I started the voiceovers, was you would subscribe. You would pay money because you still didn't have the stuff on the internet yet. Mm-hmm. You would pay money to get one naughty photo a day to your phone.
And people did, hey, they laid out cash. Like there were sad males all over the world who were doing exactly that. Let me just turn off this notification thing on the message line. It does remind me, though, that I should occasionally check the messages.
Yeah. Mm. So in primary school, we once found out this one guy that his mom was doing it. And then you know, primary school guys, just never lived it down.
And his mom was doing what?
She was doing the voice, like the voice, hello, or whatever. I can't do a sexy voice.
And, no, go on. Yeah. Now we want to hear your, no, we want to hear it. Go. Do your sexy voice. Go, hello.
Hello. Ooh. What the hell from Scotland is that?
Oh, wow. Is that not sexy? Is that,
no, definitely.
Is that why I'm still singing?
One more try?
Hello. Would you like to come in?
No.
Am I going to be forever?
Would you like to come in?
Now you sound like Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh,
Jesus, exactly. This is bad. Like you would have made no money at all.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm alone forever is what you're saying.
Well, as a sex line
also
operator.
Also broke.
And then you got the full-on sex vibe. Now you can actually – I mean, isn't it true that all these girls on TikTok – and I have not even got the app, so don't ask me. I'm no expert. But I'm seeing a lot of news articles, and I've seen a couple of YouTube clips where people are criticizing people for being on TikTok. Let me tell you something. If there are girls – I suppose some guys too – who are making money out of apps that can – get them cash payments from sad people who want to watch them take their clothes off or dance seductively or whatever the hell it is that they do, then good for them. That is finding a way to make the modern economy work for you, right?
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, who are we to criticize? I wouldn't want my daughter to do it, but you know what? I don't have a daughter, so I don't have to worry. I can go on the internet anytime I want.
Listen, even when I was doing those voiceover things, my mom was actually very proud of me. I remember phoning them and saying, I phoned my mom and I said, Mom, I need to speak to you and Dad because I'm going to be doing these voiceovers that'll be on the ETV Porn Hour.
I remember that. An awkward conversation.
Yeah.
So in case anybody comes up to you and says, oh, I heard your daughter doing sex adverts, because at that stage, my voice was very recognizable. I thought I would tell you. And my mom said, oh, that's great. Now you can save money for those pictures you want for the wall.
That's great, you see.
Wow.
That's very sad. And you weren't taking off your clothes or anything.
No, exactly.
So it was very, I mean, you were probably embarrassed the first time you did a recording, but after that, you were cool with it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. How do you do a recording?
What's that?
How do you do a recording? Because I'm sure it's not a sexy environment. Well, you're probably working with someone with acne.
She would drive to an old house in Rosettenville. And she'd get in a dark room, and there would be this man called Clive who had long hair and a ponytail. And he had very
hairy... It was exactly like that.
Very hairy forearms, and...
And he would
touch her repeatedly during the recording.
No, you know what?
Occasionally lick her face.
There was a a studio room. It actually had cobwebs in it and, you know, like soundproofing sponge all over.
Mm.
So far, so sexy. So
I would pitch up by myself and he'd be half in his pajamas and then he'd record me. And he'd rub his thighs while he was doing
it. Yeah, you see?
Oh,
wow.
Really, no.
You see, I wasn't even making it up.
Oh, wow.
And he'd say, okay, that sounded good.
That sounded good.
Can you do that line again?
Mbulelo, use your sex voice and say to Leanne, yeah, that sounded good. Give me another line, but put more oomph into it. Do that.
Oh, that sounded good. Give me a... Put a little more vuma oomph to it.
You sound like a librarian.
Yeah. Bulelo has the least sexy sex voice in the universe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so single forever.
So bad. Wow, that's bad. Yeah.
Oh, man.
High as the Sahara.
If the economy really does go to shit, and we have every reason to believe it will, do not try and hire Mbulelo to do your sex voiceovers. You will disappoint huge swathes of the population.
He'll go, hello.
Hello. Do you want to come in? Like
maybe there might be a very niche market.
Like a 50-year-old cougar.
There's someone for everyone.
Hello. Would you like some Earl Grey?
I'll add a drop of milk.
Oh, my stomach's actually hurting from laughing.
All right, good. Well, that's a good thing. All right, so here's the truth. I'm kind of getting used to the isolation. I'm not hating it, and I'm careful about who I say that to. I mean, I know there might be listeners to this show who are on the edge at the moment because maybe you're looking at a future that doesn't look so bright. I don't know. But I got to share this in all honesty, and the one place I've always been honest is the show. I'm kind of enjoying it now. I had a busy weekend. I spring cleaned and I decluttered and I hung pictures up in my house and I patched walls and I repainted things. And then I actually did a painting, which was fun to do.
Mm.
I haven't done that for 12 years. Wow. I got a canvas. I drew the picture. I got out the paints. I didn't have any black paint, so I had to improvise a little bit there. But I got, you know, you only need...
Okay.
What's that? Huh? I think we lost Leanne. I can see you're still there, Mbulelo.
I am. I'm very much still here.
See, I just disconnect her and bring her back. So I painted. There you are. Hello. Okay, go ahead.
Hello.
You were going to say?
Didn't have black paint, so I said, so you couldn't paint any blacks in your picture then.
You know what? It's good you got muted there, actually.
Yeah. The fucking racist comment gets through.
No.
So anyway, I painted a painting. It's like an avant-garde take on a 17th century or 18th century portrait. So I had some fun with that. I put it out on Instagram just because I wanted to prove that I'd done something on Saturday. It wasn't really that I was proud of the work because I wouldn't have.
Was it a person? A portrait?
Yeah, it's a portrait of King Louis the 16th. I used like a lot of flat brushes, and it was really cool because I haven't exercised that muscle in, I don't know, 12, as I said, 12, maybe more years. So it was nice to do, you know. And I can paint. I mean, like my grandmother was a painter. She actually studied, she didn't study. She was in the studio of Pinyev when he was doing all his great works. And he used to live for a time on my great-grandparents' farm. So my grandmother, my grandmother was a painter. I have a famous kind of great uncle who's a painter, and my mom is a painter. So it's if there's any genetic component to it, I should be able to do the basics. And I wouldn't regard this as some great work, but it's a start, and I might just get back to it. But it's so time-consuming. That's why lockdown is the perfect thing to happen to draw this shit out of you, right?
Literally.
Yeah, at any point, at any moment. Mm.
And I really felt like I'd done a lot on Saturday, and I even did some exercise, and I was feeling really good about things. And I did sleep in, which is also nice because I love that. And I've realized there are two advantages to working from home, which I didn't realize until...
What are they?
Well, the number one is if you feel like asleep, you can just have a sleep. You know, you can, as long as you don't have meetings and things scheduled for during the day. I mean, even today, I've got a lot of stuff to do in the morning. But in the afternoon, I might have a little siesta. And you can, because you can arrange stuff around it, right? I mean, Sia, you haven't got like 17 pre-records for me to do. Or have you?
No. We're clear until the afternoon.
Okay. Well, that's, you see, that's one nice thing. And the other thing is you can eat whenever you want.
That's not a nice thing. That's
dangerous.
That's a slippery slope.
That is dangerous.
Well, I safeguarded against overeating by just not buying anything snacky.
Yeah, I did the same, actually.
So
I regret it, but I did it.
Yeah, the only thing I had was I had some biltong, but I can't eat that anymore.
Why?
Why not?
Well, it's because you can't have biltong like 8 days after you bought it, whatever. It's not so great anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I've thrown it out.
Mm.
You know that it sits for weeks in the open with flies on it.
Oh, Jesus.
So it doesn't really, 1 week doesn't matter.
All right, well, you know what? Let's just leave that alone because I don't want to feel ill.
No.
So are you making like the siesta thing part of your day now? Because you've been saying that quite a lot.
Well, I'm trying, but you know, some days are different to others and you've got to be flexible. It's not a hard and fast rule. Let me put it that way.
Wow, because in normal life, I mean, when you travel to these countries, like you go to Argentina or Spain, and it's just like that's what they do. And for 2 hours, the whole place shuts down. I'm just like furious.
Well, they love it because
they really do.
And they feel that they get a little bit of sleep in during the day. And they're reinvigorated because their day only really ends at, 8 o'clock in the evening, maybe even later. You know, restaurants, for example, in the good old days when people used to go out.
Oh, what are those again?
Yeah. Well, but it's also... There won't be any of those left when we've got this conversation. So this is an article of Historia and some nostalgia for those of you who are interested. But in Spain and Italy, I mean, you don't go for dinner at 7, 8 o'clock. You go out at 10.
Yeah. No, people go out at 11. Mm. So it's Barcelona's.
Yeah, but also you must remember the reason for the siesta there is because of the intense heat at noon. I remember arriving in Spain... I'd driven from Portugal in the heat and getting out of the aircon car, and it was 46 degrees.
Well, that's fine, but that doesn't explain why the whole Middle East doesn't do siestaing.
Yeah, there's a reason.
That's also true.
There's a reason they call that whole Iberian region and the Latin countries the Africa of Europe. There's a reason.
What's that reason, Bulelo? It's your turn to be racist.
There's a reason. I mean, the numbers don't lie. Okay, look at the economy.
Yeah, okay.
We've started on so well this morning.
The French are pretty lazy too before we start casting aspersions.
They really are.
Okay, so I did one other fun thing this weekend. I got online on a webinar meeting app like this one that we're on now. With my best friend from varsity and another mate of mine who lives here in South Africa. And the three of us sat and we drank and we talked for like an hour, which was amazing. We haven't done that. This friend of mine is in Vancouver and he and his wife moved there it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago now. So we haven't really spoken and laughed like that in a long time. And I mean, you kind of... You know, people's lives move on and you have different priorities, and they obviously live a very different life to the life they lived when they were here. And we were just laughing and kind of reminiscing about those days, and it was really fun. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I got a bit of a thrill out of just being in conversation with the two of them and having a really fun time, just a genuine conversation where we still laughed at the same things. And we brought up a bunch of memories that we had of how crazy our lives were when we were in our 20s. And it was just fun. I really thoroughly enjoyed that.
That's very cool.
And I've been invited to play a game of either Cards Against Humanity or 30 Seconds or something like that with friends and family. But it's a drinking game, and I've had to decline because I'm running out of booze, and I'm not going to waste it on a game of Cards Against Humanity.
What do you have? What, you have wine?
Well, I do. I really only drink wine.
Hmm.
I need to check because I can't remember now. I think I have about 6 bottles left.
That should, you know what? Pace yourself.
Well, I'm going to have to, because eventually I'm going to have to stop completely, because if lockdown continues and we can't buy. So I'm literally like...
Weaning yourself.
Weaning off.
Well, I know that smokers were very nervous when this lockdown started, and there were people. I heard someone paid over the weekend from a friend of mine, someone paid 600 Rand for a box of cigarettes.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah, because there's now a black, you see, this is always what happens. There's a black market developing in cigarettes right now. It's like in the Prohibition, bootleggers made tons of money.
Good for the seller.
Hey.
So the seller,
good for the seller.
This seller sold a packet of cigarettes for 600 Rand to some addict.
Yo.
And I'm telling you, this is going to happen more and more. And now there's a market in fake cigarettes too. So you've got all those dodgy people who run those fake cigarette rackets. And they are making it.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. You know, the thing to be concerned about as well is, I know I keep standing up for the addicts in saying that if you stop booze suddenly, you can become very ill and it can be deadly. But the thing is with cigarettes as well, and speaking from experience of giving up many times,
yeah,
I tend to actually become ill after I've given up. And the reason for that is the cilia with a C.
In your lungs, yeah.
Yes.
In your lungs. Start to, when you're a smoker, they lie down flat, right? Because they're like half dead. Mm-hmm. And when you stop smoking, they begin to prickle up slowly. But it's actually quite ticklish and you end up getting a cough. Yeah, and you get like this chronic cough for quite a while. And I used to find that I would end up getting quite sick from it. So, yeah, it's debatable. But
I don't know why they banned cigarettes. What's that all about? I mean, is this just government, again, just doing more than they should? Is this them enjoying being in charge?
Well, I don't think any of them are smokers, and I don't think they actually understand the addiction to cigarettes. And that the fact that it is more addictive than heroin.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
I don't understand it. I think they should rescind that rule. It's stupid. It's unenforceable too, and it's going to create a black market of cigarettes.
Yeah, alcohol banning is one thing, but cigarettes, I think the addiction there, look, I have no professional experience or expertise on this, but I think the addiction there is more intense, and so I feel bad for people who are regular smokers like that and are out of touch.
All I know is I don't need a cigarette or a glass of anything. I need a haircut.
We all have our vices.
Do I? Yeah. I'm thinking about
my natural hair color is definitely showing.
Well, it's not that much darker. It's like a dark blonde.
No, you're still good.
I need a haircut. My hair gets all wavy when it's long. I'm going to be wearing a bun soon if this carries on.
And that's whoa.
Man bun.
Don't you worry.
Please do not.
Whoa.
No, I'll pick up the clippers long before then and just shave my head off.
I was going to say,
please don't try to do that.
Let's not get
too... Don't fall into that trap.
No, but I could probably make a little ponytail on top of my head right
now. Whoa, I understand these are extraordinary times, but even though we're having gay banter, let's not, come on.
Don't panic. I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying there it is, you know.
Okay.
Gareth, I'd far rather see you in a top knot before you try to cut your hair. And then if it turns out horrible, we'll have to pretend like it's nice. No. I nearly fell into that trap as well, because I thought there was a point over the weekend I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought it wouldn't be that difficult, right? Yeah. Just to trim my hair. And I thought,
don't try and do it yourself. A home haircut that you do yourself is a very, very dangerous thing.
Yeah. If people are running out of things to do, they must watch Footloose and become Kevin Bacon and air punch everywhere, rather. Please don't be putting your hair in a man bun.
So funny you mentioned Kevin Bacon.
How did we get to Footloose?
Someone
expend energy.
Someone put up a picture of what's that? The movie The Breakfast Club, right?
Oh yeah,
where they were
Emilio
all
Estevez.
Yeah, they were trapped in detention.
Yeah,
and that was actually on this weekend on one of the channels. And guess what? I sat and watched it.
Oh, it's a classic, yeah, Emilio Estevez, Charlie Sheen's brother. For those
that's comfort viewing.
Charlie Sheen's less talented brother, let's be fair. I mean, he's not as interesting as Charlie, right?
Well, certainly not. No, he's certainly not. And not as good an actor as his father, Martin, no.
All right, well, Sia got sucked into a rabbit hole over the weekend. I think this will interest you. Sia went online and he started looking up Vladimir Putin's children. What have you learned?
what did you learn?
Do you know when you get stuck into, it's not just a YouTube rabbit hole, but then you watch a video that links to another video, then you have to cross-examine everything. I was so invested in the Putin family after 90 minutes. I thought, well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but hey, I have the free time on my hands.
Honestly, so I didn't even know he had children.
Exactly, because that is something that he has been intentionally striving for. He doesn't want the identity of his children to be known. And a lot of people here are just piecing together pieces of, you know, the news and certain sources. So even what I'm about to say is a bit of hearsay. But in conclusion, Putin has decided to shield his children from the public because he says he wants them to have a very normal life. And also he doesn't want them, this is very Putin, he doesn't want them to get any sort of praise because of just being. He says if they have any sort of praise in the world, they must work for it. And that's because they've done something in the world, not just because they were born with the Putin surname.
Sure, that's quite a good value. But
right?
Firstly, I would have thought that he was barren. And secondly, I would have thought that he had no capability of loving small things.
Yeah,
I don't think he has that capability.
You know who he reminds me of is Voldemort from the Harry Potter series. He's sort of like that.
I hope he can't hear us. He'll chop off our balls.
He's that weird, sterile kind of, you know, he's like a villain, but he's so creepy. He's just so dead on the inside. You could see, I don't know that he's laughed since the 60s.
Yeah, I don't think so. Mm-mm, not at all.
And Russians are famously humorless, but this guy, you're a creep. So how many does he have?
Most sources say he has two daughters, and most sources had their way of confirming this back when his daughters were in high school. But listen to this. So one journalist had written about how one of his daughters was a gymnast and she was performing really well. A couple of weeks later, that journalist ended up resigning, I use an inverted commas, and then ended up dead after that as well.
Yeah, they were found suspiciously hanging in a tree.
Oh, my God.
Then at a different
this is for reporting that the daughter was just a good gymnast. That's all.
Released a photo of her face and confirmed her name. Oh. And so that's what happened to him. Then at a different stage in that daughter's high school career, a publication wrote about her again. And that publication ended up having to file for bankruptcy and shutting down.
Oh my gosh.
Hectic.
This is all because he doesn't want to talk about his children.
Again, I hope he can't hear us.
I hope he can. Now I'm like, I want to send him a message. Mr. Putin, I look for wife. I want one of daughters and be very good to him. her.
But you think about how touch and go he's been in general with his personal life. He was married for more than 30 years, his first marriage that ended in 2013. He was so off-ish with even announcing his divorce. He had attended this public ballet show. Yeah. And during the interval, I mean, the president is at this massive show. And then during the interval, he stands up, he calls the press together and he says, by the way, I'm getting a divorce. Okay, that's it. Everyone go back to watching the show.
What does his ex-wife look like? I've never seen a picture of
his ex. They're very age appropriate, or they were very age appropriate. They met when she was still a flight attendant. I won't even try to pronounce her name. Ludmila?
Ludmila, yeah. Good Russian.
Ludmila.
That one, yes. Yeah, they were married for more than 30 years. They got a divorce. And then it's now reported that he's dating someone who was either went to the same school as one of his daughters or associated with one of his daughters. But already then that just means there's a massive age gap. Mm. And then also no one can really confirm if he has a third daughter. This is a daughter with his new wife or girlfriend. But I just find it so fascinating in general that he's so around not wanting his personal life to be leaked.
Mm. What a strange man.
So, folks, if I'm not back doing the show tomorrow,
we know what happened.
We know what I did.
Yeah. You've been poisoned.
All right. A couple of things that I want to get to this morning. But first, the headlines that you need to know about. The five things, I mean, I keep it to five, that you need to know that are in the news this morning. Okay, first thing first. Police have arrested a man for posting a video allegedly mocking government's efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19. You see, this is where I get very nervous about government, because they're very hopped up on their own power right now. You got Becky Kele, who's really a thug, and Becky Kele is out there going, police officers, and shouting at them and carrying on like we all have. Suddenly he's the Führer. And really, it's amazing how a situation like this, a situation of national crisis, brings out the little fascist in some people. They've been holding it back. Like stemming the tide. They've got a big dam wall that keeps them in check during civilized conversation. But then, is someone all right there? Leanne, is that a...
I'm so
What's
sorry.
What's going on?
What's going on with
I'm
you?
I'm so sorry. That's my dog. He has a cough. I'm going to mute my mic while he finishes.
That did not sound like a healthy cough.
I thought it was you. Holy shit. Anyway, so Becky Kele is having trouble keeping his fascist tendencies in check. And... police have arrested this guy because he posted a video mocking government's efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19. Meanwhile, everyone in the United States who hated Donald Trump before are now mocking him for the way he's handled COVID-19. And guess how many of those journalists who are saying what a fascist Donald Trump is have been arrested? None. That's because in civilized democracies, you don't put someone in jail because they criticize the government.
But also there's a lot of pressure on law enforcement at the moment to arrest people who are fucking around, really, and people who are making videos of licking toilets or prompting coronavirus or partying up in the streets.
I promise you, there are maybe 10 people in the whole country who are doing that, like who are actively causing trouble and spreading a disease. The rest are merely exercising their right to free speech and their right to criticize government. Come on.
But then did you hear about the people who were who were criticizing Putin?
Well, I'm sure they're dead. See, because if you want to live in Putin's...
I was going to say, no, I didn't.
If you want to live in, if you want to live in Putin's Russia, or you want to live in communist China, where they make the rules for you and you just disappear if you say something that they don't like, then go ahead. But that's not the basis of this country, and that's not how this country was founded. And I'm talking about 25 years ago, when we all decided we were going to be a liberal democracy... with every man has a vote and free speech in our constitution and protected in the Bill of Rights. These are things that are enshrined in the very meaning of what it is to be South Africa. So don't come along with your, we will put you in jail if you don't agree with us, and your Nazi salute, and you're shouting at police officers. Because I saw this hideous clip of Becky Kele shouting at officers and saying, go out there and get these bad people. And these are not bad people. They're people who are under pressure just like you, dude. And you are not special with your stupid hat, all right?
He's also the one – oh, I snort there. Snorted. He's also the one who, by some organization, appealing for cigarettes to be allowed to be sold again. And he vehemently said, no, there's absolutely no way. It's not going to change.
He's a thug. Becky Kele was a disappointment in all his previous roles. And I know lots of people in this country are frightened of crime, and crime is their biggest concern. So they don't mind a bit of a heavy hand on criminals. But this guy is not the right person to have authority. He's like those security guards who won't let you in. And you've got a meeting in an office park, and he won't let you in because he's very important and powerful.
He dresses like that uncle who's rich.
When you say you don't want to give him your cell phone number, he's like, well, then you're not going in. That's him. That's him, basically. He's a security guard.
I think for the people who are frightened by crime, he is good for 3 seconds in his manner and approach. And I really do mean 3 seconds because he's very, aggressive.
Authoritarian.
And yeah, because, stomach in, chest out, shoot to kill. And, when you're so hurtful and you hear that, you're like, actually, yes, good for you, baby. But then when it comes to implementation and day-to-day operations, then you go, ooh, wait, are you sure about that?
Yeah, be careful what you ask for. So apparently this dude is 23 years old. He recorded a video that has been widely shared where he appears to be standing in front of a police station and using profane language to describe the virus. Police said he was traveling around Pretoria with another young man while bragging about not complying with the regulations. The suspect is likely to face charges of at least contravening the regulations of the Disaster Management Act. Police said other suspects have been arrested for creating such videos and posting fake news. We've arrested more people than have died of COVID.
Yeah, we have. But
do you realize that? You realize what an embarrassment
I'm still for it. I really am still for it.
All right. Up to you. You want to be for it, you go ahead. I know what this is going to lead to.
Well, including the 50-odd people who were arrested in KZN at the wedding over the weekend. But we can get into that after 7.
Yeah, we've definitely gone past the point of no return with these guys who are just arresting people for what? For being together. Really? I think there's so much nonsense going on right now. Crazy.
Yeah. I'm such a conformist.
I know you are. You would hand over your rights. You would comply with anything.
Yeah, exactly. I should have.
Leanne, I'm just like you. I have no urge to try and break the rules. I'm not even trying to go jogging. I even feel like I need to walk to the stores with my hands up from the parking lot. Just say, I really am going shopping. I have no inkling within me to try and go against this.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I'm a rebel every step of the way. I'm not going to give in to these thugs. Anyway, I don't necessarily agree with any of these people and their behavior, but you don't go and arrest people for expressing themselves, even if they hate the police. Okay? You can't go and arrest someone. And if they're driving around flouting the rules, you've got to ask yourself, is this a public danger? Or are you trying to make an example out of somebody because you're showing that you're powerful and you're government and you won't be messed with? I mean, do me a favor. Anyway, that's the one story. Apparently, 17,000 people have been arrested since last week for violating lockdown regulations. 17,000 people. Well done, police. That's
17,000?
Then if we multiplied the number of infected by 100, we wouldn't have that many people. Just think about the cause and the effect here. Think about what you're really saying about yourselves, dummies.
17,000?
Yeah, I feel particularly sad for those who've been arrested who are just trying to get food.
Yeah, I mean, my brother, for example, went to the shops on Sunday, I can't remember which day, and he had his youngest son with him, and they wouldn't let him into the shop. The police were at the shops. This is what their job is. They're now security guards at the Pick and Pay.
On what grounds?
They said, no, the kid can't go in with you. Where's the mother? So he had to take the kid home and go back on his own.
I have to be honest. Oh gosh,
I know you love these rules. I'm sure it was dangerous, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say because I might get people upset.
Well, go ahead.
Whatever.
I don't think you should be taking a child into a public environment at the moment.
Children are the next best hope of us actually beating this thing from a herd immunity point of view. But we won't go down that track because it's just not worth having this discussion. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The Western Cape government has allocated $53 million in funding for an emergency food relief program that will run across the province. Premier Alan Wynne said they've taken a number of emergency steps to ensure that residents in the Western Cape are being fed. The allocation of funds for the emergency food provision plan includes 20 million rand to distribute 50,000 food parcels, each of which will support a family of four for 1 month.
Sure.
This is the real cost, everybody, of this lockdown.
Yeah.
And we worry about someone who's shouting in a police station. But here are 20 million rands and 50,000 food parcels which have to be handed out because people are going to starve. 50,000 people may starve in the Western Cape alone. They're going to need food aid. And we're arresting 17,000 people for not complying with lockdown. Some of these people might just be desperate.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
And and Becky Taylor's hopped up on how strong and powerful he is. Anyway, the department will get an additional $5 million for delivery of 10,000 cooked meals per day for 1 month. There are genuinely a lot of people suffering right now. And then this is interesting. The DA ratings downgrades should be a wake-up call for the government. Yes, absolutely. The Democratic Alliance said that the recent downgrades by Fitch and Moody's must be a wake-up call for the government. On Thursday, we were downgraded to BB with a negative outlook, while Moody's dropped it to junk status last week. This means South Africa will have a hard time borrowing money and attracting investors. But it's okay. You know, government don't understand economics. I mean, I think Tito does, but that's it. And so you're going to get to a point where you can only borrow from the IMF. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk to Anthea about that in a second, actually. And then Morocco, the king of Morocco, King Mohammed VI, on Sunday, pardoned 5,600 prisoners and ordered their release in stages to avoid contagion in the country's overcrowded jails. It's a good time to be a criminal.
Yeah, I think in South Africa, they're looking at releasing pregnant women as well.
Well, the Justice Ministry in Morocco said 5,654 detainees would be freed, selected on their age, health, good conduct, and length of detention. They'd be released in stages due to exceptional circumstances linked to the emergency health situation and necessary precautions. The decision came as the COVID-19 illness has officially killed 66 people and infected 960 in the North African country. What are our numbers at the moment? Do you have that on your phone?
I can look it up and find it for you.
Okay. While you're busy doing that, here's the last bit of info you need before we get to Anthea. And it is from CNN. It's fake news CNN. You know them.
Just to interject quickly, it's 1,655 cases and 11 confirmed deaths.
11. If we've paused the economy for 11 people's deaths...
No, but Gareth, the reason why there have only been 11 deaths...
I know. I get it. I'm not being a complete arsehole here, but we'll see in 3 months' time if pausing the whole economy for however many people have gone and died in 3 months' time, we'll see if it was worth it in terms of just hard numbers. Just think about that. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I wouldn't want to be Cyril. I've said that before. But if it's for a small number of people, the number of people who are going to go into poverty because of that decision, we better be able to justify that.
It would have been more deaths, though. We have to consider that.
You think?
Oh yeah. It would be huge.
Yeah. Well, I don't agree. Let's just listen to the Queen quickly, because that's who we need to hear from in a crisis. Is someone in her 90s? Here we are. Here's the Queen talking about
the crisis.
Go on, Your Majesty. Whenever you're
speaking
ready.
To you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time, mm-hmm. a time of disruption in the life of our country, a disruption that has brought grief to some, financial difficulties to many, and enormous changes to the daily lives of us all. I want to thank everyone on the NHS frontline, as well as care workers and those carrying
She said this last night on television in Britain, and then she said something kind of ominous at the end, which I think you need to listen to carefully, because she's like, we may meet again, but maybe not. See, just listen to this.
Succeed, and that success will belong to every one of us. We should take comfort that while we may have more still to endure, better days will return. We will be with our friends again. We will be with our families again. We will meet again. But for now, I send my thanks and warmest good wishes to you all.
We will meet again. That's the Queen. All right, so that's from from CNN, but she was all over the news. Okay, it's time for Anthea to get us back in the swing of things in terms of where our money's headed and whether or not we have any left. And wow, Anthea, the worst value of the rand in history. Am I right?
Good morning, Gareth. Yes, absolutely horrendous. And we started the week okay, you know, post-downgrade. We went to 18 and we came back below 18. We're now above 19. So some shocking news there. I must admit, the week, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was actually okay. You know, I thought we've been talking about this downgrade being priced in. We hardly had any fallout from the downgrade. And I thought, oh, that's fantastic. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the foreigners had only sold 4.1 billion rands worth of bonds, which sounds a lot. But we had a little game at work where we had to guess what we thought the fallout was going to be. My guess is that they would sell 96 billion rands worth of bonds. So 4.1 billion in the first 3 days post-downgrade is not bad at all. And in fact, on Thursday morning, the 10-year government bond yield fell below 10%. And I thought, oh, this is all going to be okay, actually. And I think there are two things there. First of all, even though we got downgraded last Friday before last, you know this whole downgrade and selling on bonds is because we fall out of the WGBI, which is the World Government Bond Index. Mm-hmm. And so now anybody who is measured or benchmarked against this index has to sell South African bonds. So that's kind of what we were guessing, the number we were trying to guess, how much would foreigners have to sell. The thing with that is that actually the WGBI only gets rebalanced at the end of this month, end of April. And so maybe foreigners are not selling as quickly as they need to. And then secondly, the Reserve Bank have put in this quantitative easing or bond buying program. So maybe that is helping to stabilize the market. But this rand blowout, whew.
It could also be in something that came up on the Burning Platform the other day, that even though we are sub-investment grade, according to these ratings agencies, we still have interest rates that are much better than the interest rates in much of the developed world. And that, therefore, even if you're one of those low-risk people who wants just the 6 or 7% return, you can get that here, as opposed to in an American bank, you know?
Sure. So there's definitely a search for yield, no doubt. So people will be buying South African bonds. And this is why I thought it wouldn't be, you know, like a – I think the total number of South African bonds in the WGBI is over 300 billion, and which is why I thought that we'll only see net selling of 96, because potentially other hedge funds or investors who are looking for yield would come to South Africa. Mm-hmm. But I think there's just generally a risk off sentiment globally. So investors just don't want to be anywhere where there's risk. And emerging markets are definitely risky. And if you look at the purchasing power parity, the way the rand blows out, you know, you actually, if you bought when the rand was around, let's say, 17 or whatever, and then the rand blows out, it's not the same. You're not getting that value. So let's say you're getting 10% on your bond deal, and the rand falls by 10%. When you repatriate your money into dollars, you're actually not going to get that yield.
Tell me, the banks in South Africa seem to have a lot of liquidity at the moment. They weren't lending huge amounts of money or investing in massive projects for the last little while, and they seem to have a lot of cash in hand. Is that a good position to be in, not just from a bank point of view, but even for the individual? Is that maybe the best possible position where you've actually got your money in cash?
So definitely. I mean, any company that has cash on their balance sheet, has a strong balance sheet, that is always a good sign. You know, when things turn around, you want to be able to deploy the cash into projects that will work. So if you've been sitting on cash, it's like gold, right? It's like a safe haven, if you like, safe haven asset. It hasn't really played out that well previously. So when we've had quantitative easing in Europe and the US, for example, and even in Asia, mm-hmm. banks have sat on cash and not deployed it to companies and to individuals in the market. And so actually that hasn't really helped the economy. So that hasn't been a great situation. You know, we'd really like for the banks to not just sit on their cash, even though it looks good on their balance sheet. We would like them to deploy it and to actually help the economy kind of boost it up a little bit. And in fact, it was interesting to see, because we closed out the first quarter of the year in the equities market, well, generally, but in the equities market, the all share was down 22%. Financials were the hardest hit. And you would think that if they had cash on their balance sheets and they were so strong, that investors would be buying these banks. But actually, the financial sector fell 40% in the first quarter. And so that's compared to resources, which was down 26. Gold was up, gold index. Now, these are the indices, not the actual underlying companies. Well, they're made up of the underlying companies. Mm-hmm. Gold was up, the gold index was up 4%. And then companies like Naspers, believe it or not, up 17% for the first quarter. And Tencent was up, I think, 31% for the quarter.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, so you're really seeing this divergence between the brick and mortar and the tech stocks. And in fact, you'll see it in the US as well, where the FANGs have done exceptionally well. Relative to the rest of the market, which has just fallen in a heap.
Now, you don't want to be in a property company right now, do you?
Wow. No. I mean, for a number of reasons, right? So many property companies are now saying that they're not going to pay out their dividend because retailers have stepped up and said, well, actually, we can't afford to pay our rent. So they're now not paying rent to the landlords, which are the listed property companies. And then a couple of other things. We know we had Nepi Rockcastle, who was selling some property they had in Romania, and that deal's fallen through, and that was a 5.7 billion rand deal.
Can I just say that their name is so stupid that they probably should have never been in existence anyway? Nepi what?
Rockcastle.
What a stupid name.
So Nepi stands for...
I don't know. It just sounds dumb.
European.
It's just really dumb.
You don't like that. Okay. So they play in South Africa and in Eastern Europe. and they were going to get bought by a company called Africa Israel Properties. I'm not sure that's me. Right. You know, so for a company that has a market cap of 44 billion rand to not have a deal of 5.7 billion rand go through is pretty big. It's over 10% of their market value. Hmm. And so many companies like Fikile, Hyprop, they're all saying, nope, sorry, some of us are still making money.
If you wanted to open up a shop in just about any mall in South Africa now, you could go to these property companies and say, I'll do it for 10 grand a month. And they might even say yes.
I would say absolutely. That's very clever thinking. As a retailer, I think you're probably in good stead to be negotiating right now. I mean, because you're seeing, well, first of all, Edcon is going to disappear, right?
Oh,
so
yes.
There's that space that becomes available. And then who knows what else is going to become available. Some companies, retail companies, are going to have to take smaller space, maybe not disappear completely, but take smaller space. The property companies need somebody to pick that up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Go negotiate.
Wow. Okay, so let's look at who might do well out of this. Are the residential and commercial properties the same thing?
No, but definitely not. But I can't imagine that individuals are going to be looking to buy property right now. I think no matter who you are right now, you're saving money, you're trying to save money because you don't know how long you're going to be sat here. I'm guessing that lots of people are actually saving money, not going to restaurants, not eating takeaways. But, you know, it's so negligible. You're not going to buy a house based on how much you've saved in takeaways, spending on takeaways.
And don't crush my dreams. I thought I was going to put a down payment in an estate somewhere.
But
my biggest concern at the moment...
Yeah.
My biggest concern at the moment is how we come out of this on the unemployment rate. Because as companies fold and as the Edcons disappear, and I keep using Edcon as an example only because it's the most obvious one, and they've already said they're paying salaries for this month, but heaven knows what's going
to happen. No, it's dramatic. It's really dramatic. It's not a bad one to use as an example. But as that happens, yes?
I'm not sure that people have enough money to start buying homes again. And so, no, I can't see that the residential market will be any more resilient. Also, South Africa depends quite a bit on foreigners. And even the foreigners, even though the rand is completely blown out, and so for a foreigner to pick up property here is a lot cheaper than it was at the beginning of the year, 24%, I believe, cheaper. And that's just on the rand exchange. That's not on the property value. Mm. I can't imagine foreigners, they'll be worried about keeping their jobs back home as well, you know, so...
Okay, so the big question is, if you've been one of those people who's been really good and you've saved and you've invested over the last 10 years and you've put your money into what you thought were reasonably safe investments, are you in a better position than someone who has just accumulated huge amounts of debt? Because what I'm getting at is that the banks don't want to repossess your car or your house. That is a loss for them, and it means they're not doing their job properly. And frankly, no bank in the world wants to own a bunch of secondhand cars and a bunch of deteriorating residential properties. They're going to have to come to terms with all of the people who are going to find themselves in a position where they can't pay the bank back. And those people will probably get very favorable terms from the bank. And the ones who saved and who paid off their properties are going to be sitting there going, why did I bother with that?
Yes, indeed. So I don't think that the bank is suddenly going to turn around and go, oh, guess what? You've got, I don't know, R1 million left to pay on your property. We're just going to write it down.
No, that'll never happen. They'll make you pay, but it might be R500 a month because that's maybe all you can afford.
Well, so what they're going to do definitely is, or what they've done, is given you repayment holidays. They're still, by the way, calculating the interest every month.
Yeah.
So if you can afford to repay any debt you have, even if the bank is offering you a repayment holiday, just pay it, okay? Because that interest, and we've taught compound interest 1,000 times on the show, mm-hmm. it's just not worth racking up more and more and more debt. So you want to be paying down your debt no matter what. But if you can't, I think you're right. The banks are going to be a little bit lenient, but they're not going to lose out. So if this means that their cash flow is going to slow down for 6 months to, I don't know, a year, let's call it, then, you know, they're okay with it because they're sitting on cash and they just won't deploy any more cash like they normally would. You know, they would get your repayment and deploy it to somebody else. And in fact, banks make money from lending. And so they have to lend. At some stage, they're going to have to go back. And people, you know, if people are wanting to buy homes, go, okay, well, if you're okay and you're a good borrower, then sure, I'll lend you some money because that's how I make my money as a bank. I lend you money, you pay me interest and the repayments. So there'll definitely be a cash flow or cash crunch, I should say, in the next... Yeah, also.
One last thing I want to find out about. What do you think of oil and what's going on with oil at the moment?
What a question, because I have no idea. I can't actually believe how this oil price is trading. You know, so last week on Wednesday, it was at a 17-year low. Like, it's unbelievable. And then on Thursday, it jumped 20%. I see it's now about $30 a barrel. It is really all over the place. And I think there's a couple of things going on here. One is that, again, the kind of oligopolies are messing around and making announcements about how they're going to cut off.
It's chiefly Saudi Arabia and Russia arguing about this at the moment.
Basically, yeah.
And
so there's
that. Saudi Arabia is saying to Russia, you think you can play with supply and demand. Well, we'll just produce it much cheaper than anyone else in the world, and we'll flood the market, and then you're screwed.
Exactly. So the minute Russia turns off the taps and they want the oil price to go back above 30 or above 50 as they would like, then, you know, Saudi counters it or vice versa. And then we've got COVID-19 and everyone's going, oh, but there's no manufacturing, there's no production going on in the world. So why would we buy oil? So, yeah, that it really the most volatile I've ever seen it in a week.
Hmm.
And you know, just on a macro level, the thing that does drive the oil price is exactly economic growth. And last week we had our PMI, which is the manufacturing number, contracting for the 14th consecutive month. And then the other big number that happened last week was in the U.S., where we saw 6.3 million people apply for unemployment. That was just in the week. And the week before, if you remember correctly, we spoke about this on Monday, we had over 3 million people applying for that the previous week. kind of historically, the highest number has been 675,000 people applying for what basically we call unemployment, right? The UIF, to the UIF.
Anthea, that's all we got time for this week. I know you want to squeeze in more bad news, but I'm afraid that's it. We're full. And we will return with the money shot on Monday next week. But we've got more to tell you in the next hour. Stick around, cliffcentral.com, to keep you company. Thanks, Anthea. Let us know what you think. I haven't even got to messages today, but I promise you I have seen them on 079-748-2090. Let us know what your thoughts are this morning, what you got up to over the weekend, and what interesting stuff you would like to talk about today. You know how to do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Look who I'm talking about. Our audience. Like, our audience has ever been shy, ever.
Yeah, this is true.
All right. Back in a minute.
CliffCentral.com.